Greetings, sisters. Sister Deb from don'tperish.com. Hey, praise God for another day to serve Him, to love the brethren, to share, encourage one another, and I'm joyous to be here to do this. So today, the title of my audio is Let Us Go On to Perfection. And the reason I thought about this is because I was reading through Hebrews 5, and I want to go there. I want to read, let's see, verses 8 through 14. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, called of God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when, for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as need or have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For every one that use milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full of age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, we know women are not to teach men, but they ought to teach other women and children in the things of God and Titus 2 issues, and also share with the gospel with the lost and be ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within us. So that requires moving on to perfection. And so I wanted to talk to you. I wanted to move on here first. Hebrews 6, 1 and 2 go along with this because it kind of continues on from the end of 5 into 6. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and laying on of hands and resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. So he's encouraging all these people to get moving on from the basis of the faith into what? Unto perfection. And I want to read to you what that means in the Greek. It's completeness, mentally or morally, perfection. And then the state of the more intelligent, moral and spiritual perfection. So we see that we get that through maturity. And how do we get to the maturity? You know, James says we're not just supposed to be a hearer, but a doer. And we also know that faith without works is dead. So he's prompting them to get up and get moving and doing and becoming and being what we're supposed to be in God and being obedient. And that helps us all into our perfection and maturity. And here's a verse like many people overlook when they just want to rest in their faith, claiming that works don't matter and that God's going to judge their heart. Those are the people who are just kind of sitting there talking about things, not being a doer. James 2:24. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. So we have a lot of work to do, which is a justification of our faith. It's the fruit and the byproduct of it. So basically, I'm here to press us sisters, all of us, you, me, any of us here, onto the good works of godly women, and that's going to let us go on to perfection. And so let's look at some of the areas. Oops, I just dropped something here. Hold on. We're going to look at the areas that godly women can be moving on to perfection or maturity or completeness. And it's sisters, if you're unfamiliar with some of these, we have a lot of teachings on the sisters blog and Brother James Discernment blog. And I'm also here to help you in the ways of godly women and definitely here to take a correction if I see something or if you see something that I wrote wrong or if I say something wrong, please feel free to bring it up to me. That's part of moving on to perfection, and I have that listed in one of these. So the first thing I want to start out with is obviously the most important, that godly women are new creations. They're born again through the biblical gospel, and that's not just one of faith, but it's one that it includes, obviously, that repentance. So you have your faith and repentance, and we'll talk about some of those other areas that need to be repented of, and you're going to see that. So it starts with the faith and then repentance and then being born again, which means the Holy Spirit dwells within us. And now we're a new creation. We strive in holiness and obedience. And because, well, you know what? I kind of skimmed through that pretty quick because the whole audio is not directly related to that. Brother James has in-depth teachings on the gospel. So if you go to the gospel link, you're going to see a lot of teachings on that. Let us help you in that. If you need help, just let us know. And so I'm just going to keep on moving on to the topic of this audio here. And I just want to share that because we've been transformed, now we're going to share that gospel with the lost. And it means we're studied up, we're ready to share that hope with those who we come in contact with. And we encourage sisters not only to train yourselves how to do it verbally, but to also have something to give them, like a gospel tract, a biblical one, of course. We're here to help people discern that. And because we don't always have the opportunity to talk to somebody, not everybody says, hey, let me ask you about the hope that lies within you. Why do you dress that way? Why do you look that way? Are you a whatever kind of Christian they think you are? You know, the door opener that they have. So it's nice to be able to have a gospel card to voluntarily hand that to somebody. God may open up a door for you to give that with somebody and maybe not have the opportunity to talk to them. So we encourage women to do that. And then I wanted to read 2 Timothy 4:2. Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. So that would be moving on to perfection, a godly woman in the gospel, learning how, because of her transformation, she can share that with others. And within that, obviously, godly women study to show themselves approved, and they hide the word in their heart. They're ready to give an answer, or, like we said, share a gospel card. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We don't want to be ashamed of all this, too. That's part of moving on to the perfection. Another area that I've been kind of talking about a lot lately is that a godly woman will take correction and teaching and rebuke because they're here to honor and glorify God and not just cling to the beliefs that they've been taught. So going on to perfection is something where somebody has killed their flesh. They've died to self. They don't have pride, and they welcome teaching and correction. And that makes me think of Proverbs 9:8. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Praise God for that. I love that. So bring me a correction or a teaching or a rebuke if I need it. Let's see. Godly women, yep, come out of the world and all its sinful pagan ways. So let's look at some of those examples in there. And we have lots of articles about all this to help you if you don't understand why you need to come out of the world on these, like Christmas. I don't call it Christmas, it's Christmas, because the Roman Catholics started that. It's a pagan holiday. It has nothing to do for Christians. But anyway, moving on. Easter, birthdays, Halloween. You know, it's funny how people will separate Halloween out of the worldly carnal events, but yet it's a pagan day, just like Christmas and Easter and some of the other ones that they celebrate. So I lump them all together because they're all just as wicked and they're all stemmed from paganism. But so anyway, that's not what this audio is about. We got lots of teachings on that. Brother James is there to help you too. And, you know, there's a whole lot of so-called special days of the world that we need to come out of because they're not for a God-fearing, holy woman. And godly women are going to clean their homes and their lives. In fact, I just did a post on this or an audio, I don't remember which one it was, of like all the worldly books and movies, entertainment, music, idle activities that don't further the kingdom of God. So they're definitely going to be diligent in that. And I want to read 2 Corinthians 6:17-18. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. So that right there kind of sums it all up. And so if we keep moving on, a godly woman is going to wear biblical clothing, which is long and loose, unadorned dresses and skirts. Let's read 1 Timothy 2:9. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, which that technically in the Greek means neat and orderly robes and dresses, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array. So that we got lots of teachings on that, and I'm here to help you in that, as well as the next one, where godly women cover their head and their hair. Their hair is their glory. We need to cover that before the Lord, and it fits right in with our headship authority that we're going to talk about in a minute. So 1 Corinthians 11, you need to read all of it in order to get the whole context and understand it, but I'm going to read verse 5. But every woman that prayeth or prophesies with her head uncovered, dishonor her head, for that is even all one as if she were shaven. And praise God for his precious word and truth. As I'm reading this, I forgot a keynote that I want to add in here right about this area, and that women are to be silent in the body. A godly woman is going to put herself in that place, and that would be 1 Corinthians 14 and 1 Timothy 2. So I'm going to move on down my list here. A godly woman is going to put down her pride and vanity. She's not going to have any of that. She's going to dress in a shamefaced manner, and she's going to carry herself in a meek and quiet spirit. So that goes with 1 Timothy 2 that we just read and we talked about. Godly women are going to respect the authority and headship God has set up, which means they're going to obey their husbands and be subject to the male authority in their lives. And they're going to reject feminism. We see that all over the place here. Just some of the areas, Ephesians 5, 1 Corinthians 11, Colossians 3. We can look those up. We got all kinds of articles on that to help you dig a little bit deeper in there. I'm going to keep moving on my list here. And yeah, a godly woman who's married, she's going to win her husband without a word, like we see in 1 Peter 3. And let's go read that. She's also going to trust in God in that. I'm going to read both those verses. 1 Peter 3, 1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may be without the word won by the conversation of their wives. And then 1 Peter 3 talks about how they trust in God. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. And that's how we adorn ourselves, is from the inside, not the outside. And so godly women are going to be hard workers. We're going to see that example in Proverbs 31, and we're going to be diligent in it. So let's read 1 Timothy 5, 9 through 15, and that'll show us some of the areas we should do and we shouldn't do. Let not a widow be taken in the number under 80 years old and having been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she relieved the afflicted, diligently followed every good work. But the younger widows refuse, for they have begun to wax wanton against Christ. They will marry having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. And withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, not only idle but tattlers also and busybodies, speaking things of which they ought not. That would be like gossip. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully, for some are already turned away after Satan, or turned aside after Satan. So those are some good examples of what we should follow and what we shouldn't be doing. And here's another one, too, that a lot of people forget, that a godly woman's going to remember to love her enemies and love those who do her no good. Romans 12, 20 and 21. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. That also means in our words and our actions and our tone of voice. So that's something to think about. Godly women are going to love the brethren, and they're going to be there and encourage them through prayer and edification. You know, she's going to love her sisters and encourage them, correct them, teach them, guide them, and receive all the truth back from them. All of these things that she's giving to them, she's going to receive that in return. So there's moving on, or going on to perfection. Not only is she going to give it, a lot of people like to give all that out, but they don't always want to receive it, and that's part of our perfection. Hebrews 3:13, but exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And then, you know, the scriptures are fully loaded with so many other examples, but I'm going to wrap it up here with 2 Peter 1, 5 through 8. And this right here just kind of summarizes a lot of this. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God for his precious truth in his word, and that we may be partakers of it. And I hope this has been an encouragement to you, because I've enjoyed doing it. Excuse me. I've enjoyed doing it myself, and it always helps us grow to keep looking at these areas that us godly women are to be focusing on. And so press on, sister, soldiers, I'm here to help you. Much love to you all, and may God be praised.